Welcome, everybody. I am Jesse Mogul, and thank you for joining us on the American Contingency Podcast. We are a united nationwide community of steadfast Americans ready for any challenge that comes our way. We inform, equip, and train so you can prepare, respond, and recover from any man-made or natural disaster or situation. And welcome back to the show. As always, I am honored and privileged to have you here for about the next 30 minutes or so. And I want to cover a little bit about what we have been discussing over with the blog post in the month of March, as well as a really interesting topic I think is going to help us understand how anxiety and judgment and anger might be manipulating the way that we feel when it comes to securing our mental health and wellness. March is the month where we focus on security. And because the way that we integrate these blog posts into our monthly content. And for those of you who are members of American Contingency, you understand that every single month we have a focus for our content. We have 12 main categories: communication, medical, security, mobility, food and water, income and economics, health, community leadership, outdoor skills, situational awareness, defense, and home and family. The way we're integrating our blogs into this content now is we're taking for month of March, let's use it as an example, security, and then we're integrating our blog post to be about securing your communications or security around medical, security around mobility and food and water. So every blog post has something to do with security. And there's a lot of different ways we could utilize different variations of the word security. Obviously, if we're thinking about our home, we could be thinking about ways that we would put up some fences or some cameras. If we're thinking about how we might secure food and water, it might be keeping our food and water safe whenever a natural disaster hits and perhaps people get panicked and they're looking to take from other people. It could also just be about how you're going to secure food and water in your cache, in your garage, so that you're able to have those resources available to you. So there's a lot of different ways I've integrated this topic for our month of security into our weekly blog posts. And they come out on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. I put an extreme amount of effort into these. I hope that for those of you who are members and you have access to them, that you're enjoying them. And for those of you who are not members, they're an excellent opportunity to learn some basic information. And also, I'd like to get in a little bit more in depth for those who have got some experience around this. So for this month, I did Radio Silence, where I talked about ham radios and natural disasters and situations. I was really excited about that one because there's a lot of people in our community who are very much into the ham radios. I talked about preventing germs and bacteria and virus spreads when it came to securing your health, when it came to mobility. I talked about a secure way to relocate in a crisis. So there's a lot of different ways that we can utilize the idea around security in different varying ways within our own life. For income and economics, I did securing empowerment through social and economic networks, how you can grow your networks in order to feel more secure around your finances. This coming up Saturdays is going to be on defense, collective defense in our communities. I did one on community leadership, building a resilient community. How can we secure a resilient community in our lives? So lots of different blog posts that will cover many different topics all under the security umbrella, utilizing our other 11 topics that we do. And of course, there's a security one, which is really fun to do whenever you're writing about the main topic as part of the blog post. And so what did I decide to discuss today? Well, one of the things that happened this week was that my master's school, it was the final week of the semester of the term, and it's a two-month term. So I found myself inundated with schoolwork and overwhelmed and did not even realize that Tuesday was the day that the blog, that the podcast was supposed to post. So I overwhelmed myself and I didn't keep it up on my schedule and I missed this by 2 days. So then I thought, well, okay, now I have anxiety about missing the deadline. I started to judge myself about what it was I was doing with my time and was there a better way of preparing myself for this blog, the podcast post to come up. Got the blogs on the mind. And then there was a little bit of anger and resentment towards myself for missing a deadline because I run myself pretty hot over here. I do a lot of things, but I don't miss deadlines very frequently. So when I do, I tend to get down on myself about it. So then I thought, wow, you know, what an awesome opportunity for us to discuss securing our emotional surges and just day-to-day life. As Tom likes to say in our meetings, you know, what are we doing to prepare for any given Tuesday? And anxiety and judgment and anger seem to be emotions that can really infiltrate our minds and overwhelm us at times, leading us to behave emotionally, whereas behaving rationally would be more suitable for the predicament or circumstance that we find ourselves in. So let's discuss how we can look at positive aspects and negative aspects of anxiety, judgment, and anger, because it is a dual-edged sword, if that's the best metaphor for it, of these emotions. And if we start to look at, you know, North America is coming out of winter, we're getting ready to go into spring. For a lot of us, it was a brutal winter, cold conditions, lots of snow, a bit of a hibernation thing happening. And now we're moving straight into spring, this whole idea of like rebirth, rejuvenation, let's all go outside, let's enjoy ourselves. Here comes Easter soon. Then we're going to go roll straight into Memorial Day. And then, you know, now we're into summer and you're going to have your kids out of school. If that's what you have done with your life is have children, or you'll just be living your normal day-to-day life, but you'll still be looking to go out and enjoy. And before you know it, it's going to be 4th of July. And then once that happens, we're looking into the, you know, the heat of the summer that leads us straight into, in my world, football season. And once football season starts, it might as well be New Year's Day. So the year is probably going to go by a little bit faster than we would prefer. And we want to be mindful of how anxiety and judgment and anger are starting to show up in our lives, especially because this is a year of elections. And when politics becomes the main conversation topic in families and on television and social media, disagreements can happen. And the anxiety about what if your politician loses, judgment you have towards other people who have different political leanings than you, anger about what a politician has done or not done, might be causing some issues within your life. So there's lots of different ways we can notice anxiety and judgment and anger showing up in our lives. And part of American contingency is paying attention to our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health. We want to be monitoring our entire vessel, because it is you who's going to need to, you know, be able to respond. And how are you going to put yourself in a situation where now that you've done the preparing, you can be responding and recovering from, you know, again, we say man-made natural disasters and situations, but it could be something as simple as the kids being sick one day and you not being able to go into the office, or needing a detour to your favorite grocery store on the way to work one day and having that become a stressor. And any of those, and all of those, and many more examples I won't even rattle off because I think I've done a good enough example of getting us set up for this topic, will create some level of anxiety or judgment or anger. So let's discuss positive and negative aspects of each one of these and where they might be showing up in your life, in your preparedness, just as a contingency opportunity to make sure that we have discussed it and you can begin to bring these topics to your loved ones, or just think about them for yourself and how would you integrate all of this stuff into your own life. So let's start off with anxiety. I am a firm believer that in Western civilization, specifically the United States of America, we run ourselves pretty hot on the anxiety meter. Anxiety is an opportunity for your mind to freak you out about things that are going to potentially happen in the future. If it's a good thing that you have anxiety about, maybe you're giving a presentation or you're going on a really cool holiday with your family, then the anxiety is actually just a signal that you're excited about something. So anxiety follows the same neural pathway as excitement, and they can be felt very similarly in the body. When I coach my clients up to releasing anxiety, we look for the aspects of this thing that's creating anxiety and where might it also be creating some level of excitement in someone. I know it might be hard for your kids to grasp that they might be excited about a test, but it may not be the excitement about taking the test. It could be the excitement about getting the test over with. But either way, there's anxiety about what their future grade might be. If we can help them shift that into excitement about getting the test over with or getting a good grade because they studied well, whatever that might look like for them, it gives you an opportunity to have a conversation that anxiety is a choice and there are other choices that we can have besides anxiety. And when we think about being prepared, oftentimes people will use definitions or at least words like, oh, you're a prepper, which means that you're full of anxiety and fear and you think the world's going to come to an end and you're going to have to live in a bunker for the rest of your lives. While there are certainly people who have that thought that's led them to build a bunker, not everybody who's into preparedness would necessarily fall under that American prepper television show category where it's super extreme. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's being fed by anxiety either. It could be fed by the excitement of being prepared if there's a tornado in your community and you want to have water and provisions in case you don't have electricity for 12 days. It doesn't have to be seen as fear-mongering. The anxiety could just be seen as an opportunity to motivate you to do something well for yourself now so that you have those opportunities to really be able to sink into some level of comfortability during a natural disaster or, again, a detour on the way to your favorite grocery store. So some positive aspects of anxiety can be seen as a motivational driver. It can serve as a powerful motivator, pushing you to prepare thoroughly for upcoming challenges or just to avoid potential dangers or challenges that might come about. Recently, I was listening to the NFL Network's radio show on the SiriusXM thing in my car, and there was this really cool product where you could buy some foods that were like 72-hour food storage kit so that you would have provisions in case you needed them when it's from a company called Four Patriots. And they were offering like a buy one, get two free 72-hour meal kit package. So I went on there and I got these things. And we're going to do an opening thing for one of the future episodes. But I first wanted to do this episode. But what was really cool is I was opening this up and looking at all the different foods, like, you know, I don't necessarily have a ton of anxiety about what might happen if we lose our electricity and we don't have, you know, food and provisions, because I've done a pretty good job of stocking up a bunch of dry goods and water so that we will have things to eat. We do have, you know, the gas grill, we have, you know, extra propane tanks. I've got things prepared to get food and water ready for my family if something needs to happen in that regard. Got the camping stove and all that jazz. But then when this Four Patriot box arrived, it just felt really cool to know that I've got this, you know, presumably yummy food based off of the testimonials on their website, but also that I just have provisions now that could last upwards of 25 years. So as I listened to this radio ad on the way to a meeting one day, I was like, well, yeah, this is cool. And I didn't have anxiety about the potential tornado, nor did I have anxiety about not having the right amount of food, but there was a motivational driver to purchase this product so that I knew that I just could check off of another box. Another really awesome aspect of anxiety could be enhanced awareness, where now you're more situationally aware of your surroundings. It can lead you to become more cautious or considerate in your decision-making, especially in unfamiliar or risky situations. When we go on trips where we're not as familiar with the area, we tend to have a heightened sense of awareness to what's going on around us, which is just a good practice for any situation in life. Again, I'm not necessarily full of anxiety that I might get mugged, certainly not in North Alabama. But when I lived in Hollywood, California, yeah, walking down the street there, you didn't wear both earbuds. You always kept one open because you just didn't know what the people on Hollywood Boulevard might do. I had a heightened sense of awareness, not necessarily for the anxiety of being attacked, but just out of the concern that I didn't want to deal with the aftermath of being attacked. And there was definitely some times where I was really benefiting from that situational awareness that I've honed in from living in like 10 different major cities. So anxiety around your own personal safety can enhance your awareness. Also, a positive aspect of anxiety that we can focus in on is being able to signal for help, right? It's something inside of you that's saying that in your life, it might need attention. It might need something to change. This could prompt you for personal growth, for emotional resilience building, for preparedness in your own house or in your cul-de-sac or within your family. It doesn't have to be an immediate flare of something's wrong now, but it could be a very strong signal to you that you're needing to make some level of change. I do this entire speech where I talk about the positive aspects of negative self-talk, and that a positive aspect of negative self-talk can be that something inside you wants to be prompted to change. wants growth. It wants you to build or create a new life for yourself, that it can be a signal to change your behaviors. So you can be paying attention to how the anxiety might do that for you. So motivational drivers, enhanced awareness, signaling yourself for growth or resilience building, all positive aspects of anxiety. Now, negative aspects of anxiety could be the paralysis by analysis or avoidance techniques, where excessive anxiety can lead to that decision paralysis or avoiding certain behaviors, which could actually inhibit your personal growth or your ability to face challenges. So if you're sitting there, you know, at the big box store trying to decide upon which generator to buy, you get into this paralysis of analysis. Now you haven't purchased the generator, and next thing you know, you need it and you don't have it because you decided to stand in front of the aisle for 30 minutes and debate on how much gas it might use or how loud it might be. Figure those things out as quickly as possible and get this thing into your life. There's also that avoidance of certain behaviors. You know, I know people who keep certain foods out of their house because they're afraid that they can't say no to them. Now we have opportunities to start to ask ourselves, well, where are we not showing discipline or willpower in certain circumstances where we could still have this one food item in the house for the times we do want to allow it for ourselves, and also be able to walk by it and say no in times where it's not going to be as beneficial. I love Oreos. I always have Oreos in the house, but I do not eat Oreos every single day. Also, a negative aspect can be physical health impact. Chronic anxiety does strain the body. It releases too much of that, you know, negative kind of toxic chemicals into the body that could cause you to really run your immune system ragged. So when we start thinking about the health issues to your cardiovascular system, your immune responses, if you have sleep issues, chronic anxiety can absolutely affect all three of those areas and so many more, where you're just feeling like you've got so much, like, have you ever felt like your blood pressure was way too high for the given situation? That's anxiety. And then also social withdrawal. Right? If you have a ton of anxiety, you might feel like you want to withdraw from social situations, which could negatively affect your relationships, leading to isolation. It's very interesting when I'll have people reach out to me, or I'll reach out to them and be like, man, I haven't heard from you in forever. I'm like, yeah, my phone was blown up with your number too. We as humans get overwhelmed with our schedules, and lots of things end up happening. And then we might go days, weeks, months without talking to somebody we really care about. Most of my friends and I have just the basic agreement that we don't spend any time at all ragging on the other one about how long it's been since we've talked, and we just get straight into the conversation. And I've got many friends where it's like we just pick up right where we left off, like no time has passed at all. You want to be monitoring how anxiety around contacting somebody, maybe it's because of what their response or reaction might be because they haven't heard from you in a while. Or maybe it's because every time you call them up, you have a need or a want, and then you're going to ask them for something. Notice where that anxiety is showing up and why, and then seek to have a conversation with them about it so that you don't feel like you're isolating yourself, because anxiety will absolutely cause people to want to stay inside and hide away, and we don't want that to happen. Let's think about aspects of how judgment can be positive or negative. And this is an interesting one because I was recently having a conversation with someone about camping and, you know, the idea that I want to have an air mattress whenever I go camping. I do not consider that glamping. I'm almost 50 years old. I have got way too much money in my bank account, and by way too much, I mean at least $50 to go to a big box store and buy an air mattress and make sure that I can blow that thing up in the woods. I'm not sleeping on the ground. I'm just not doing it. I don't need practice sleeping on the ground. If I ever find myself in a situation where I have to bug out and I don't get to have a mattress, I'm sure I will figure out a way to sleep on the ground that time. I do not need to practice sleeping on the ground. My back will thank me for it in the morning. So I just remember like a little of the side eye, or maybe what I felt was judgment, and it may not have been, but it's what I felt in the moment. And I'm like, we all are going to have our own ways of wanting to live our lives. Other people's way of living their life is not the bar for which I need to raise myself. Yes, I can give people advice if they ask for it, or sometimes unsolicited when they don't ask for it. I just want to keep in mind for all of us out there that judging somebody for how they choose to live their life when we have not walked a mile in their shoes, we don't know what experiences they have in their life that have led them to make the decisions they've made. When it comes to wanting to sleep on an air mattress in the woods, I used to camp out a lot when I followed the Grateful Dead and Phish, and I can assure you I know exactly what my back felt like when I was in my 20s. And now, after having multiple injuries to my vertebrae and my knees and my shoulders, yeah, I'm good with that. If I don't have to sleep on the ground, I ain't sleeping on the ground. But again, were they judging or was it joking? It could be seen many different ways. Just be mindful that your behaviors, your way of life isn't the bar for which the rest of the world needs to raise itself to sit upon. That you have your way, other people have their way. Could your way potentially offer more benefits than somebody else's way? Yes, again, there's the probability of that, but be mindful how we decide to give that information over to somebody, especially if it's unsolicited, because you're going to expect a very strong pushback if you just start telling somebody that their way of doing things is wrong. They're going to have a natural inclination to push back because that's just part of our human behavior, to not want to be proven wrong. Even those of us who love learning new things still don't want somebody to sit there and be like, wrong, 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 wrong. So when we think about positive aspects of judgment, critical thinking, setting standards, and safety and ethics come into play. Judgment can fuel critical thinking and analysis, enabling ourselves to make informed decisions based on assessment of information and experiences. Great opportunity in our after-action reports to really gather up information and be able to utilize that because of our critical thinking, because we might want to be judging our behaviors. We want to be looking at setting standards, right? Personal, professional standards. This is where judgment can be positive because it will guide our behaviors and efforts towards achieving quality, achieving our level of excellence. We're all doing the best we can with the resources we have in the moment, and we're always picking up new resources. And also judgment around safety and ethics, whether you're discerning right from wrong, contributing to a safer, more ethical decision-making process within your own life, within your family's life, within your community's existence. These personal and professional contexts where you can be saying, okay, am I being as prepared as I possibly can be? Am I monitoring how I'm going on this hike so that I don't slip on a rock and twist my ankle? There you can be these internal setting of standards that guide us to better safety and ethical practices. We just want to be mindful of the critical thinking we're utilizing, and then let's introduce the negative aspects here. Is there harsh self-criticism? A lot of self-judgment, again, will fuel your anxiety. Now all of a sudden we have this diminished level of self-esteem, this diminished level of self-confidence. Now it might put us in a predicament where we're unwilling to take risks or try new things. Life is about stepping outside of your comfort zone and learning new things, getting uncomfortable in life, because that's where the growth, that's where the breakthroughs happen. For many of us, when we first got into this idea of preparedness or just understanding how to be a community leader, how to be a leader as a husband or a wife, father, mother, brother, sister, all of those things, there could have been some level of self-criticism. This idea of fake it till you make it could be one way of going about internalizing it. It could also be believe it till you become it. And realize that the more you learn, then the less anxiety and judgment you'll have because you'll have more experience. Also, being mindful of your judgment of others. When directed outward, prejudices, misunderstandings, conflicts will undermine your relationships. It will become to erode at community cohesion. Judging others, again, for the way they choose to live their life, again, whether it's, you know, throwing stones in glass houses or eye for an eye or whatever that might be, as far as a biblical reference goes, it's just very mindful to realize that judging others goes against a lot of different ways in which, whether it be a religious book or whether it just be our own personal moral character, judging others goes against a lot of those things. Other people can live their life. You might be able to offer them some advice or some different kinds of tips, tricks, or hacks, but realize that your life isn't the bar we're all trying to reach towards. Also, judging ourselves can bring about inflexibility. rigid judgment will prevent our appreciation for just alternate perspectives. If we're so busy judging somebody from across the aisle that we can't even begin to listen to what their rationale might be for believing what they believe, we miss out on an opportunity to connect and communicate. And when, you know, all hell breaks loose and things hit the fan, do we want our next door neighbor to be an ally, or do we want them to be an enemy? Because you create allies and enemies well before the natural disaster or human situation shows up. So alternative perspectives, alternative solutions, creativity, innovation, brainstorming, all of this is positive. We want the good things in life. And when we judge others, we can become rigid and inflexible towards listening to what other people have to say. And then anger. Boy, do I feel like we have a bit of an angry society. And this isn't necessarily just a new thing. I think we have been angry for quite some time, and it's just starting to metastasize externally toward one another, of this visceral dislike or hatred towards people with opposing viewpoints than ours. We're all humans seeking to, you know, create certainty for ourselves, to surround ourselves with loved ones, to be respected from our family and within ourselves and within our community. We want to contribute. We want to have significance. We want to grow. And when we have anger towards other people, we're really the ones drinking the poison, because anger towards somebody else doesn't really affect them unless you literally go up to them and cause them physical harm. And yes, there can be the emotional bullying, and there can be the kind of mental gymnastics somebody might go through when they think that you're upset with them, and then whether that brings them some level of emotional or spiritual or mental or physical harm. But for the most part, we just want to be mindful of how are we externalizing our anger that we might be feeling internally towards ourselves for perhaps something we actually want to change. And then what are we using that anger as a catalyst for our change? The catalyst for change through anger can be powerful. I might be angry because I don't have enough provisions in my house, or I might be angry because I'm not working out often enough. I could fire up that positive aspect of it, see myself as optimistic that I can integrate these new habits, and this will drive me and address whatever injustices I might be feeling internally toward myself. A lot of the issues I have in my own life are self-created, are the way that I judge myself, the way that I have anxiety around my life, the way that I have anger towards myself. Personal grievances can certainly appear in our lives. And if instead of having anger, we attempted to communicate, that's being a leader. That's showing up as 100% of yourself. We're all humans. We're going to have emotions. We're going to have ebbs and flows on how much we like someone or dislike someone. But allowing that to just simmer until it becomes this raging boil of anger is not benefiting anyone. Anger as a positive aspect can also be about boundary setting. You might signal the need for yourself to enforce personal boundaries, protecting your self-esteem, your personal space. Right, we all have boundaries to what we'll allow in our lives and what we won't. Right, I like to spend a lot of time in my office working on my projects and things of that nature. Right, one of my boundaries is that I'm not a big fan of being interrupted in the middle of the workday, because I work from home. I have to be very careful to monitor how I spend my time, and just getting into a conversation in the middle of the day, or heaven forbid, I even think to turn on the TV, those are not attributes of somebody who runs their own business and is successful. I do not have time to be watching SportsCenter at 11 a.m. There's things to be done. So I have to set boundaries around where my time is allotted and who's allowed into my space during the workday. Be mindful of how anger might actually be the catalyst for you setting up boundaries that actually help you and benefit you. The people who will most get angry about you setting up boundaries were more than likely the people taking advantage of there not being a boundary to begin with. And also, anger has a positive aspect around energy and determination. When we get so angry at ourselves about something that we're doing or not doing, it can really provide that energy, that determination to move through obstacles and challenges we thought were insurmountable. Now it's fueling a persistence. It's fueling that discipline. Now we're ready to put effort in the face of adversity. You know, a lot of people in the Huntsville, Madison County community were faced with very much a perilous life experience when those tornadoes hit back in the early teens. And next thing you know, they did not have provisions. They were not set up for success. Now, all of a sudden, there are many people in this community are fired up about preparedness, and they have that determination because they lived that experience of not being prepared. Now, maybe there was anger towards themselves for having to say, I'm sorry, family, I did not prepare food and water. They use that as the catalyst to make those changes, to set up boundaries around their spending so that they would be able to parcel out some of their income to prepare themselves with provisions. These are positive aspects of anger. Negative aspects can be relationship strains, impaired judgment, or again, we're going back to health risks because I love to discuss health when it comes to our emotions. In relationship straining, when we start to ask ourselves about anger and how that might show up negatively, unmanaged anger will strain relationships. It's not about if, it's about when. Now you're going to have conflict, you're going to have misunderstandings, perhaps yelling and screaming at one another, and this could prevent lasting damage to your personal, even professional connections and community. You want to be mindful of how anger is straining your relationships. Where would a conversation become an opportunity for conflict resolution? Impaired judgment, when we are behaving through an emotionally triggered moment, that anger will cloud our judgment. It will cause us to become impulsive, perhaps even making harmful decisions. You know, I know the joke back in the day was, you know, got in such an argument that my spouse threw a plate at me. Well, that doesn't really fly anymore in this society, and it shouldn't have flown back in the day. We really should not be throwing plateware at one another. When we are behaving through our emotional mind, that whole amygdala limbic system in the middle of our brain, we are not behaving rationally, and it will cause us to say things that sometimes cannot be taken back. It'll cause us to have to make profusely amounts of apologies after the fact when you may have even been in the right for what you were upset about, but now your behavior has led you to be the one to apologize because you didn't walk into the conversation calm, cool, and collected, and instead your impaired judgment caused you to behave in such a way that your impulsivity is now have you backtracking and trying to make amends for the things that were said or done. And then, of course, we'll go back to health risks because our health can show up very much maligned through anger, through judgment, and through anxiety. Chronic anger absolutely poses significant health risks, whether it's heart disease and strokes and mental health issues like depression. These are just me touching on just a few of them. But it's not too hard to Google how will anger long-term affect your health. And if you're not into Google and you want to use Does Dogpile still exist anymore? There's a lot of other ones you can use that won't track you. So allow Google to be the generic term for search engine, much like Kleenex is the generic term for a paper tissue you blow your nose into. So whatever you might use as your search engine, go out there and you can Google some of these aspects of positivity and negativity and how anger and judgment and anxiety will affect your life. When we explore the roles of anxiety, judgment, anger in our lives, in our families' lives, in our community, and just our society in general, right? When we think about this within the context of preparedness, it becomes very evident, almost obscenely obvious, that emotions carry positive and negative aspects. We want them to motivate, to protect, to drive us towards personal growth, societal change. But unmanaged or excessive emotional responses are detrimental to our health, our relationships, our decision making. We want to recognize, we want to balance these aspects. That's how you're harnessing your power of emotional constructivism, where you are the constructor of your life, of your family's life, of your community's lives, where people turn to you and say, that person knows how to maneuver us through situations where other people seem to slink away. This person seems to, you know, bow up, straighten up their back, and take it on as the challenge that it is. I want us all to be mindful of that anxiety and judgment and anger. They can have positive influences and they can have negative influences. It's up to you and how you take those internal emotions you feel and externalize them to the outside world on what kind of impact they will have in your life. And if you are a leader in your family or community, then it's even more so an opportunity to guide others to understand how these three emotions of anxiety, judgment, and anger are clouding them or fueling them. Either way, you have a choice. We always have a choice. Make sure it's the right one for yourself in the moment with your family, in your community, in your thoughts. We have an opportunity each and every day to step into our best version of ourselves. That's part of being a member of American Contingency. And whenever you're ready to join us, because there is uncertainty all around us, but we can create certainty by thinking ahead. Stop by our website, become a member, and we'll help you feel into what it's like to be prepared. So when you're ready to build the skills, the network, and the confidence to be ready for whatever comes next, join us at AmericanContingency.com. See you next time. Bye-bye.